I remember seeing, remember one of the muftis, big muftis of Darul Deoband, said for a masjid, if they got lots and lots of, some masjids have sitting on huge assets, they just don't spend enough on services, right? So he's saying, masjid shouldn't do that. They should spend on different services. Yes, keep some for emergency. Keep a lump sum for emergency, like some big issue comes up, big repair bill or something. But otherwise spend, you're not a bank. Masjids are not banks. There's some masjids, they just, mashallah, they get lots of donation and they just keep collecting and collecting and collecting and collecting. And they have assets, huge assets, and they don't provide services. Right? They're very, very, they're very risky. They don't know what to do. And they think that we have to just preserve the money. This is people's money. We need to spend it for people. Religious. Find ways of spending it. There's lots of ways of spending it. Right? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fee. Mubarakan alayhi. Kama yuhibbu rabbuna wa yarda. Jalla jalaluhu wa amma nawaluhu. Wassalatu wassalamu. على سيد الحبيب المصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, dear friends, dear ulama, we're going to be looking at some of the lessons that we can get from Surah Yusuf. We can get over 50 lessons from Surah Yusuf. So this is one of the stories in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions mostly all in one place. Otherwise, the story of Adam alayhi salam is mentioned, Nuh alayhi salam is mentioned, Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned, Musa alayhi salam is mentioned. And you see that one part is mentioned here, another part is mentioned in another surah, and it's mentioned 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 different places. And sometimes slightly different versions are mentioned as well, or different events are mentioned in different places. Whereas when it comes to Yusuf alayhi salam's, it's all mentioned in one place. There are references then in other places, but it's all mentioned in one place. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts this surah, He actually says, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ وَإِنْ كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. We're going to relate to you one of the most excellent and beautiful stories. So it's a beautiful story on its own. It's a beautiful story on its own, but there's many, many lessons. So we're not reading this just for the story. MashaAllah, the story is an amazing story. Many of you have heard the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. It's probably not the first time you're hearing the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. At least you've heard many parts of it. Today, I'm going to just mention the lessons from the different verses that I have been able to identify. So, the first, this verse, which is verse number 3, that we're telling you the best of stories, and it then moves on to verse 4. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا والشمس والقمر رأيتهم لي ساجدين. This is when Yusuf alayhi salam says to his father, my father, ya abati, oh my father, I've seen the 11 stars and the sun and the moon. I saw all of them prostrate to me. So what we learn from here is the way Yusuf alayhi salam is addressing his father. Even though his father is there, saying, my father. So, to show respect to our parents, my dear father, he's showing respect to his parents. It also tells you that if you see a dream, who are you going to go and tell? A lot of kids today, a lot of children today, young people today, if they see a dream, they'll probably go and tell their friends first. They might not tell their father because they don't have that relationship with the father. And it could be because maybe the father's too busy, or the father doesn't engage in small talk, the father doesn't get personal like that, and it's just about tarbiyah in a sense that do this, do that. There's no conversation between father and son. Could be multiple reasons why a child, a young man, a young teenager, young teen, would not share something like this with the father. But here, clearly, he feels comfortable enough that I'm going to get a response from my father, and he's the best person I can speak to. That's why one of the lessons that I get from here is that, look, if not both parents, at least one parent must be such that the children should be able to share anything with them. They can come and discuss anything, even if it's a controversial issue that you had with your friend or you saw something online, should be able to speak it with at least one of your parents. In fact, the parents should encourage this discussion. Encourage them to come, so that the parents are the first port of call, the first place to go, because that's the safest place to go usually. So, mashallah, Yusuf alayhi salam felt completely comfortable to speak to his father, Yaqub alayhi salam. Oh my father, I've seen this dream. Right. Now, Yaqub alayhi salam now advises him. He's not like, I don't have time right now. We'll discuss it later. Some of us do that, unfortunately. قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تَخْصُصْ رُؤْيَاكَ عَلَىٰ إِخْوَتِكَ فَيَكِيدُ لَكَ كَيْدًا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. This tells you multiple things. This verse number 5 tells you multiple things. It tells you, number one, the way he's addressing, my son, my beloved son, if you want to add. Right? You can put that in any language. You can, in each language has their own kind of pet terms. Terms of fondness. Right? What do you say in Bangladesh? What do you say in Bangladesh to your son? Yeah, I'm not going to try and mess it up. Yeah? You know what I'm talking about, right? So, it seems like that, you know, he may have spoken to him in Hebrew. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relating this in the Quran in Arabic, right? But he must have spoken to him most likely in Hebrew, whatever their language was. Don't relate your story to your brothers. Allahu Akbar. This tells you that Yaqub alayhi salam knew his children. He knew their issues. He knew their vulnerabilities, their weaknesses, their problems. That tells you that while we love all of our children, we need to know their weakness. If I put this cheesecake here, I know this guy's going to eat it. If I put it in front of him, he doesn't care. You know, we need to know their weaknesses so we can... It's not like we have such a good opinion about our children that all of them are cool, all of them are fine, and we're completely oblivious about their weaknesses and their challenges and their problems. So Yaqub alayhi salam is saying, don't relate this to your brothers. Otherwise, they might plot against you. Why? He tells you because it's shaitan. Now, to deflect the blame from the brothers in the sense that you don't have a bad opinion about your brothers, maybe, shaitan is the clear enemy. He wants to cause problems. What a beautiful and eloquent way. Don't tell him, look, shaitan is everywhere. Right? I might be able to trust myself, but I can't trust shaitan. I can't trust myself because I can't trust shaitan. Right? So, it's a... The other thing he's saying is it could be the evil eye. The reason why they might have an issue is because they think, why do you get such a good dream? They might understand the dream. They might get jealous. It could give you an evil eye. They could have some hasad and so on. So, and the other point is he's teaching him humility. Because he clearly thought that was a significant dream, an important dream. Now you go on to, I've seen this dream. There's some people who go around telling people they've seen lots of different types of dreams. There was one guy, he made himself out to be a big sheikh by telling him people different dreams that he had. It was all a farce. It was all made up. Finally, it came all crashing down. Right? So some people, they like to impress others with their dreams. So this is teaching him humility as well. Thereafter that, إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْنَا. They saw that Yaqub alayhi salam somehow has a natural love for Yusuf alayhi salam. They got jealous. Why does he have that? Let's sort it out. If he's not there, then we'll get the whole, we'll become the whole focus of our father's attention because he's no longer there, it won't be shifted to him. So they decided to do something bad about it. So the lesson we get from here is even your closest people don't expect that they must love and respect you. If they do, alhamdulillah, mostly our loved ones and close ones, they love and respect us. And that's a good thing, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if they don't, then don't get too upset because it happens. Our own closest ones may not love us. Yes, it feels very bad, it feels worse than when somebody else doesn't love us. But that's just the way it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does as He wishes. All children are loved by their parents. We can't blame Yaqub alayhi salam that he was doing favoritism. He's a prophet. They don't do things like this. Clearly, they all had some attention, but naturally, there's just an inclination towards either the eldest, usually the youngest, or the one that's sick. And others feel it at that time. Obviously, a parent has to try his best to try to equalize that so that they don't feel bad, but a lot of the time, that is what is felt. Or they could misrepresent it. So that's what they decided to do. That they decided to get rid of him. They decided to complain about this. That's why in verse 10, Uktulu Yusuf. One of them at least gave the suggestion, kill him. أو اطرحوه أرضا. Go and throw him somewhere, leave him somewhere, abandon him somewhere, and your father's love will become focused on you, will become sincerely for you. And then after that, you can be righteous people after that. Do tawbah afterwards, and you'll be fine. Do the sin, mess it up, then go and do tawbah, and you'll be fine. That is, if anybody does that, then we remind them that they are doing the sunnah of Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers. The bad sunnah of Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers. A lot of people think, you know, let me just do it, then I'll make tawbah afterwards. Allahu ghafoor rahim. That's the lesson we get from here, that's an evil thing. That's not a good thing to do. And then they had a misunderstanding. They thought they'll become the loved ones if Yusuf alayhi salam isn't there. Later the story tells us that Yusuf alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam kept remembering Yusuf alayhi salam. So he actually didn't, I don't know how much of a difference it made, because he kept remembering them. He knew, obviously, he knew much more than anybody else did. Thereafter that, verse 11 and 12, they came to their father, they said, قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا مَا لَكَ لَا تَأْمَنَّا عَلَى يُوسُفُ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَنَاصِحُونَ. Why don't you trust us with Yusuf alayhi salam? Why don't you let us take him out? Whereas we have goodwill towards him. Where is brothers? We have goodwill towards him. أَرْسِلْهُ مَعَنَا غَدًا. Send him tomorrow. We're going to go and play around, and we're going to run some races and so on. We're going to protect him. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We're going to protect him. لا إله إلا الله. Now, while the lesson we get from here is that if your closest ones, your brothers, can let you down, then imagine anybody else. That's why be always careful. Not paranoid, right? Not always looking after your shoulder that there's already always somebody after you, but be aware. Keep your ears open. Be careful from even your brother. We're not saying here that you start distrusting your brothers and sisters, no. But the point is that be careful. Because even your closest ones can be a problem for you. Right? For whatever reason. Right? So just be aware. That's what he's saying. Don't become paranoid though. Thereafter that, especially if they're not righteous. Verse 18, they go, they did what they did, they threw him into a well. The story is famous, they threw him into a well, they came back with a qamis, with a tunic, his cloth, that had some blood on it to show that he'd been eaten by a wolf. That was the story. So that's verse 18 we have. When Yaqub alayhi salam comes to know, this is what he says, قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. There's something your nafs has created here. You guys have made a plan. You've done something. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. Instead of beating them up or anything like that, he said, beautiful patience. Patience is beautiful. Immediately, that's what he said. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. He consigns his matter to Allah straight away. Says, Allah is sought for assistance regarding what you describe. You know, especially when you're helpless, when you know you can't do much. Your own sons are telling you that he's dead, he's killed, he's been eaten up by a wolf. What are you going to do about it? Take me there. You know, there's so much you could do, but he knew that it's not going to work that way. Instead, let me tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leave it to Allah. Wallahu al-musta'anu ala ma tasifun. This tells you that sabrun jameel, beautiful patience. Beautiful patience is where you don't complain, complain, complain. Then finally you say, when you realize nothing's going to work, nobody can help you, oh, let me rely on Allah now. Allah help me. Where was Allah until now? Start asking for Allah straight away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ya Allah, ufawwidu amri ilayk. I'm consigning my matter to you. Then you can ask people if you need to. But at least you've remembered. All Allah wants is, remember me first. In your times of difficulty, I'm the one who can help you. Why don't you remember me first more than anybody else? But we think of, let's call the mechanic. Let's call our neighbor. That guy's got contacts. We start thinking about all of that before we start thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, call your contacts afterwards, but just consign the matter to Allah, and then He'll take care of it. All of that will be facilitated. So that's the patience you need to have, is at the time that the calamity strikes. That means you're connected to Allah. Because later, everybody, when they get helpless, any believer would do that. But it's about knowing Allah so much that He's the one who can help me. Right, the next is verse 8, 19 and 20. This is when those... that caravan is passing through. Those travelers are passing through, and they go to get some water from the well. And wow, subhanallah. قَالَ يَا بُشْرَى هَذَا غُلَامٌ. What a glad tidings! I found a child in here. وَأَسَرُّوهُ بِضَاعَةٍ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ مَا يَعْمَلُونَ. They took him as a slave. In those days, if you found a child like that, they would even kidnap children to make them slaves. So they made him a slave. But all of it was a grand plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to eventually get him to... they sold him for a very cheap price as well, right? To the Aziz of Misr. One of the Aziz of Misr. That's what he sold him to. That was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. Now what does this tell us? This tells us that this is all a plan from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To everything in the right time. They find him before he dies. They take him, they send him. Because he wants him in Egypt. Allah has planned that he becomes the minister in Egypt. How is he going to become like that? All of this takes place. We don't know what Allah's plan is. That's why ultimately we rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He has knowledge of everything. Allah has knowledge of everything. And then he's there and he's very handsome. The Aziz's wife, she gets a bit excited about him, very excited about him, tries to seduce him, thinking that with her power dynamic of her being in charge, the wife of his master, you know, she can do. So she locks up the room and beckons him to come. She's quite pretty as well, right? They say that she was very beautiful as well. But Yusuf alayhi salam, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّدْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرَّآ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ. What we're told in here is that Yusuf alayhi salam refuses. Now, one understanding here is that why didn't Yusuf alayhi salam do anything? Well, because he's a chaste person. He's, although they're alone, she's telling you, come along. She's beautiful. It's free. It's available. But he says no. He sees something. He sees evidence from Allah. May Allah also give us evidence like this all the time. A sign like this all the time. Right? May Allah give us a sign like that all the time. There was a scholar from mainland India. His student went to Burma, which is Myanmar, right? And he got involved with some bad ideas, and he hooked up with a woman, and he was going to go and see her for zina. And he got all the way to her house, and I don't know, he felt like a slap or something. He felt something from his sheikh saying, what are you doing? And he just turned back, got really scared and go back. If that could happen to us, if we get some kind of sign like that whenever we might be confronting some kind of evil or haram, that would help us a lot. Because otherwise you regret it forever. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he's a prophet, right? Anyway, one opinion is that he saw how beautiful she was. And you know, when we see beautiful, we want. He's like, Allah created this beauty. So from the beautiful, he went to the beauty creator, Allah. Allah says, this is haram. I said, haram. You understand? That's when we see beauty next time, if our eyes fall onto it, we think about the beauty creator, we think about it, it's haram. Allah knows best. But Allah says, this is the way we averted from him, this evil and this vice. Because he is from our sincere servants. If we are mukhlisin, sincere servants from Allah, Allah will help us. And numerous stories about people who are studying the deen, trying to focus, they fall into some kind of wrong. Allah extracts them. Another thing that we learn from here is what Yusuf alayhi salam says to her. He says, how can I do this? Ma'ad Allah, innahu rabbi ahsana mathwai. He's my Lord, meaning your husband, is my master. He's my Lord and he's treated me very well. He's made it very good for me. How can I be rebellious like this? How can I violate his trust? Meaning, I shouldn't be doing this anyway, but this is even worse. He's such a nice guy and he's done that for me. What are you thinking? Why would you do that? Tells us that we should always try to pay kindness back with kindness. That's another side issue we understand from here as well. Also, when people mean to harm you, return the evil with good so that you can earn a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, then after that he tries to run out. Now doors are locked. According to some of the tafsirs, the doors are locked. She's locked all the doors. So he doesn't just stand there helpless, okay, let me be molested or abused. No, he runs to the door. Allah wants to see us do something. Even if that means, even if you know the door is locked, let me run, at least try to open it. And Allah opens it. It opens up. And she grabs him from the back, trying to hold him back, tears his clothing from the back. Now the question is, she goes and complains. Right? Because now the Aziz is outside. Complain, what happened here? So she blames Yusuf alayhi salam. Now the whole story is there, which is that a really young kid began to speak, who doesn't usually speak, an infant. He said, look, just check which way the tear is, front or back. If it's from the front, then he's a problem, because he's trying to attack her and she grabs him. But if it's from the back, then that means he's running away and she's grabbed him from the back to hold him back. That is exactly how it was. Now, interestingly, Yusuf alayhi salam says, she is the one who flirted with me. And she's the one who tried to seduce me and attack me. So then that's exactly what happened. What the lesson we learn from here is that as long as you try to be chaste, you try to do what's right, Allah will produce a miracle if He has to get it right for you. Ultimately, you might suffer for a while. If you look at the story of when Aisha radiallahu anha, our mother, when she was slandered with Safwan ibn Mu'attal radiallahu anha, it took a while, it took some days, quite a few days until the verse came down. Allah revealed the verse in her freedom and exoneration and in her innocence. So while we're not going to get a Quran verse come down for us, but something will come up and it will become. And that's what usually happens. Not to say that we don't try to explain. Yes, we try to explain. You know, we do what we can, but have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He will clear it for us. Now, Yusufu a'rid an hada. The Aziz of Misr, he plays this very well. He says to Yusuf alayhi salam, look, ignore this. Let this go. Yusufu a'rid an hada. Let this go. Then he turns to her, wastaghfiri li dhanbik. You seek forgiveness for your mistake. He gets it. He understands her problem. You, if in kunti min innaki kunti min al khati'in, you were of the ones that made a mistake here. That tells us that the Aziz of Misr, especially in a person in a position, it's a very personal issue. This is his wife. He's going to want to cover that up. Any excuse would say, no, she's fine. But no, he tells Yusuf, look, just ignore this. We'll deal with it. And then he tells her, you better seek forgiveness for that. So we need, especially our leaders, we need them to act fairly. Because if the leaders can't act fairly, then who else is going to act fairly? The leaders are the one that take care of the system. If they don't act fairly, the system gets messed up, then individuals are messed up. Then even if individuals try to do good, they don't get anything out of it. So, no prejudice, even if it's against your close ones. She gets blamed by the other women, like, what are you doing? They haven't seen him. So she sets up this whole scene, gives them some fruit and knives to, you know, to eat with, and then suddenly tells him to come in, and they're just absolutely astonished by his beauty. Like, wow, what is this? This isn't even a human being. This is some kind of angel. For some reason they call him an angel, right? And then she says, that's the one that you've been trying to censor me about. You've been telling me off about him. You know, you understand. And then she gives a warning. She says that if he doesn't do what I tell him to do, he's going to be imprisoned. He's going to be humiliated if he doesn't do that. Now what should you do? Justification. A beautiful woman. For free. You know, an experience. I'm going to get a beautiful experience. Haram. But beautiful experience for free. And if I don't, I'm going to get put into prison. Why not? At least I don't go to prison. That would be a justification, no? What do you think? Sounds good? Right. Yusuf alayhi salam, قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ. You know, the prison is much more beloved to me. I'd rather stay in that solitary place. مِمَّا what they're calling me towards. It's much better than that. And then, the main thing is this. These are difficult things. Don't try to be macho. There's somebody who called me the other day. They've had haram experiences for nearly up to 20 times. And subhanAllah, they say that every time they think they're fine and they'll be able to manage, they'll be able to control themselves, and they keep failing. And they fail again, and they fail again, and they fail again. I said, what's your problem? Huh? They say that even people who don't drink anymore, even after a year or 2 years, they say they should not even smell alcohol. Because if they do, they can relapse, because this part of the brain can just make you, unless you're very strong. So what the ulama mentioned is that if you have made tawbah of a sin, don't try to remember the sin because you remember the pleasures of the sin. Don't try to get close to the sin thinking, you know what, I can go into a pub, I'm not going to drink anymore. Right? Don't think you're such a macho man, I can go and talk to her, it's okay. No, this is very, very dangerous. Right? So what he does, Yusuf alayhi salam, I know it's, I can't deal with this myself. He says, he turns to Allah and he says, وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. If you don't turn away their strategies and plans from me and their, you know, their attacks on me, then I might incline towards them. I might get misled and then become one of the wrongdoers. So it's better to walk away from temptation rather than say, I can deal with it and I'm a man enough to deal with it. Right? So even a prophet, when he's tempted by a woman, he takes protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are we then? We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Said, may Allah keep us all protected. After that, he's in prison now. He's in the prison. Now what this tells us is that if you're a decent person, you're a person who's sensible and decent and seemingly wise. It doesn't matter, even if you're in prison, you will become the consultant. Meaning, people will want to consult with you. You can help people. So when he enters that, there's two other people in the prison and they both come to him with a question. They've seen dreams, so they come and ask him. How did they know he could interpret dreams? Well, he's a decent guy. He seems like a very respectful kind of individual. He has something about him. Let's go and ask that question. Wherever you are, be a decent person. In a sense, people have confidence in you. Right? So they ask him the question. Now when they ask him the question, one says that, you know, I've got birds eating off my head, and the other one says that I'm pouring wine for, you know, the leader, for the king, or something like that. Right? That's they see two dreams. Now Yusuf alayhi salam knows that he has audience with them. They're very eager to hear his story. Right? This reminds me, there's a guy in Ilford, in the town center area. He said he could fix my watch. So I went to his shop. And he's got clocks on the wall and he's got watches, and that's what he does. Right? All sorts of people come to him. He's got a little dawah stall. It's a tray of dawah books of different aspects about Islam. Very few people do this. But you know, when you're fixing somebody's watch, you know, you're talking about something, it's a really perfect place to give dawah. So Yusuf Ali says, I know these guys are going to listen to me. He says, look, I'll let you know. I'm going to give you your interpretation before the food comes. Don't worry. Listen to me. And then he does dawah. So we find every opportunity for dawah. That's the lesson. As Muslims, that's right. Yes, this is a prophet. Right? But this is a lesson from us, that we try to find an opportunity sitting with somebody in the bus. If you're a shopkeeper, you talk to somebody, have an excuse of a discussion. Just bring up an issue. Palestine's a big issue these days. Allah Ta'ala relieve them. So, give a da'wah to them. He talked to them, are multiple gods better than one god and so on. That was the da'wah he gave. Then, that's what he says. He compared, he's giving a comparison. He says, why would it be better for you to believe in multiple gods instead of one god? Isn't one god enough for you? Why have multiple gods? That's in verse 39 actually. Then, look at this now. After he tells them the story, the one one of them, he told him that you're going to be killed, you're going to be hung. That's the interpretation of your dream. The other one, you're going to become close to the king, you're going to become his wine, his drink server, right? So to that guy, thinking that he's the one who's going to survive, he says to him, mention me to your king. What is that? The lesson we get from there is use strategy when you can. Use opportunity when you can. There's no harm in trying to put in a good word. I mean, is this conflict of interest? He came to ask him a question. You know, I can just imagine some people saying, this is a conflict of interest. He came to ask for a dream interpretation. And you're telling him that mention me to your boss. You know, what's wrong with that? I've given you interpretation. I'm going to use this opportunity. I think that you can get me somewhere. I don't want to be in this prison. Right, I had to be here, which was better than, you know, falling for the trap there. But I want to be out of here. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the guy went, he's so excited, he forgot. He didn't mention Yusuf alayhi salam. But then there's going to be an occasion for that. So there's nothing wrong with being strategic, preparing and planning like that. Nothing wrong with that, right? Now the king, not the Aziz, but the actual king, he sees the dream, right? Not going to go into a dream, he sees the dream, right? You must have already heard about that. And he calls his people, you know, kings, rulers, they have different ministers, they have different advisors. So you need an advisor on education and health, on politics, international relations. And he had guys who he thought could tell him dream interpretation. So he called them in and he said, look, this is what I've seen. What do you think? قَالُوا أَدْغَاثُ أَحْلَامُ. They didn't know. So they're like, oh, it's nothing. It's just stray thoughts. Random thoughts of your day, you've been thinking about something, so it manifested itself. We don't interpret dreams like this. Basically, don't justify your ignorance. If you don't know, look, I don't know. Right? It's not my expertise. I don't know anything about this medicine. I don't know anything about this condition. Right? So, that's what we learn from that part. There's just lessons in every aspect of this. This person who had survived from the prison and become close to the king. So you know what? He remembers now. Oh, you've heard a dream. I know somebody who can interpret dreams very well. Let me go to him. Send me back to him. He's in the prison. So he goes and he tells him the dream. And Yusuf alayhi salam tells him exactly what they're supposed to do. That you're going to grow things and do the crops properly for 7 years. And you're going to make sure that you save a lot of that. Because then you're going to have 7 years of drought. So whatever you saved, you can. So he tells them the strategy. Right? He tells them the strategy. And the benefit of the strategy is that had they not known, they would have just, for the next 7 years, when they get lots of crops, they would have just eaten it up. They wouldn't have worried about storing. Right? But because he tells them that strategy, and this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending the dream to the king. He must have had some goodness in him, right? So that's why they get that strategy, so they're able to plan properly. So then after that, when they actually do get the drought, mashallah, they've got stores and stores of food because of what Yusuf alayhi salam said. And that tells you that, what that tells you, that you can plan for the future. So you don't have to spend in sadaqah all of your money and not leave anything for tomorrow. You can keep a bit. Even masjids. I remember one of the muftis, big muftis of Darul Deoband, said for a masjid, if they got lots and lots of, some masjids have sitting on huge assets, they just don't spend enough on services, right? So he's saying, masjid shouldn't do that. They should spend on different services. Yes, keep some for emergency. Keep a lump sum for emergency, like some big issue comes up, big repair bill or something, but otherwise spend. You're not a bank. Masjids are not banks. There's some masjids, they just, mashallah, they get lots of donation and they just keep collecting and collecting and collecting and collecting. And they have assets, huge assets, and they don't provide services. Right? They're very, very, they're very risky. They don't know what to do. And they think that we have to just preserve the money. This is people's money. We need to spend it for people. Religious. Find ways of spending it. There's lots of ways of spending it. Right? So, prepare for the future. Keep a bit on the side, even in our personal finances. Keep some and then spend. Let the money be working. Let the money be doing something. Put it into some business. Give it in sadaqah. Help somebody who doesn't have the money but has the know-how. Do a contract with him that I'll give you the money. I'll be the silent partner. There's so many things that we can do rather than just sit on it. Thereafter that, verse 51. Just to finish off the story about the women. What happened now is that when the king now says, who is this person that gave you such a beautiful interpretation? Bring him out. He said, no, I'm not going to come out until my matter is cleared. I don't want to come out on this understanding that the king gave me a compassionate release and I was guilty. No, it needs to be clear. So he, rather than run out of prison, hey, I've been here for 7 years or something, he's letting me go out, let me just get out of this hellhole. You know, let me just get out of this place. No, he said, I want to be clear because justice is important. And clearing your name is very important. So what does he say? He says, ask those women. So then, قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُنَّ إِذْ رَاوَدْتُنَّ يُوسُفَ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ قُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا عَلِمْنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ سُوءٍ. Now after all of these years, I think they must have realized, we don't know of any wrong with him. Right? In fact, the Aziz of Misr's wife says, Al-ana hashas al-haq. Now the truth is very clear, she's willing to say it. She says, I was the one who seduced him. And he was of the truthful ones. He was the honest ones. Alhamdulillah. Even your slanderer, the one, your accuser, afterwards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them say what's correct. So, mashallah, she becomes fair afterwards. She becomes just after and said what it is. That's a lesson for us that even if we've done wrong in the past, we've done something very bad in the past, don't keep building onto that. Don't say that I have to take this secret to the grave now. I can't ever tell anybody I made a mistake. No. You want to be forgiven? Well, seek forgiveness here. Say clearly what you did wrong, and Allah Ta'ala will forgive as well. So make right what we done wrong. That's the lesson we're getting from here. Right? And then it's, in verse 52, Yusuf alayhi salam says, ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمَ أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي كَيْدَ الْخَائِنِينَ. Honor is very important. This is so that they know that it wasn't me who did wrong. It wasn't me who betrayed the trust. It wasn't me who was treacherous or who violated the honor. It wasn't me. Honor is very, very important. So, that's what it tells us now that he's got audience with the king. He says now, he knows what the situation is in the country, right? Because of all of this drought and everything. He says, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض. Make me the minister of your agriculture. I think it's agriculture and distribution minister. I'm right for this job. Let me do that properly, because he knows that the next years are going to be tough. So that's what he asked for. So this tells us that you can actually ask for a position if you know for sure, right? There's two opinions here. There's multiple opinions here, right? So some would say, well, he's a prophet, he would know anyway. That's why. But it's not allowed for you to ask for a position, because the Prophet ﷺ did say, don't ask for a position. Don't ask for leadership, actually. Because if people just figure out you're the best person and they push you to get it, you'll be helped by Allah. And if you try to get it because you want it, you want position, and you're very selfish about this, and you're just very ambitious to get it, then Allah will leave you to your own devices and He won't assist you. So if you're good enough, it'll work. If you're not good enough, you're going to get messed up. And most human beings fail. However, this verse tells us that you can ask for a position. So some say, no, you can't. This is Yusuf alayhi salam, he's a prophet, he knows, that's why he's asking. Others say that, no, look, if genuinely, from sincerity perspective, like you're sincere, you know that you got the caper, you're the most qualified person for this. Right? You got the experience, you got the qualification, nobody else there, you are literally the best, and it's a responsibility, then take it. So both of these opinions do exist, just be cautious about it. That is basically saying life is about taking chances and seizing opportunities. So while it may not be this entire system, but when you see an opportunity, go and put your CV inside for the job. Go and try to ask for the job. That's different from leadership, isn't it? Okay, he was maybe a minister, but this can also relate. If you need a job and you find a good opening, bismillah. Don't sit back and feel impotent that I can't do anything. Go and try your best. These are the lessons from the second half of the story, starting from verse 55. This is around the end of the 12th juz, beginning of the 13th juz. This is, and this is the story of when he comes out of prison. So now he is out of prison, he is freed, his innocence is proven, and he's given an interpretation for the dream that the ruler has seen. And he's told them that for 7 years you're going to harvest, and you're going to look after and store some of that harvest, because you're going to have 7 years of drought afterwards. So you can then look after, you can then sustain yourself with whatever you have stored for these 7 years. So that's a great idea. So now Yusuf alayhi salam tells the king, I want you to make me the minister for food distribution and agriculture, if that was the designation. So that's what happens. Now what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 56, وَكَذَٰلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَتَبَوَّأُ مِنْهَا حَيْثُ يَشَاءُ نُصِيبُ بِرَحْمَتِنَا مَنْ نَشَاءُ وَلَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Look where he came from. His brothers have thrown him into the well to try to get rid of him. He'd been picked up from there, been taken to Egypt. The Aziz of Egypt had taken him in. The whole story happened with the Aziz's wife. He was put into prison for 7 years. And finally, the reason he comes out is because he tells the interpretation of the dream of one of the inmates of the prison. That inmate gets freed afterwards. The inmate hears that the king has had a dream and nobody is able to interpret his dream. So he says, I know who to go to. Let me go to Yusuf alayhi salam. He's in the prison. So he goes, and then this is how he becomes exonerated. Now Yusuf alayhi salam, mashallah, comes out. He is a hero in a sense, because he's told them what to do, and he's going to save so many lives and so on. He's asked for that particular position, and we discussed that you can ask for a position if you think you are absolutely the best suited person for that position, and if you don't take it, it's going to be corrupted, for example. There are two views about this, because there's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ which says that don't ask for leadership. The Prophet ﷺ told that to a Sahabi. Don't ask for leadership. Because if people find you suitable and they give it to you, they push you for it, you'll be assisted by Allah. But if you want it yourself just for your own glory or whatever, then you won't be assisted by Allah, then it's only up to your capabilities, then whatever it is. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 56, the lesson here, is that after all of this, Allah says, look how we have now empowered Yusuf alayhi salam to go and be anywhere he wants in the city. He's got such a high position, he can be wherever he wants. From where he was to where he's got to, that gives us the idea of Allah's power. There may be people today who are being persecuted and oppressed and killed and massacred, but Allah can give them a lot better than what they have lost. Allah can, inshallah, give them the power, and it's happened many, many times in the history. That's our lesson from today, from this verse. Then after that, in verse 57, Allah says, "Wala ajru al-akhirati khayr lil-ladina amanu wa kanu yattaqun." Yeah, Yusuf alayhi salam was given all of this special position in the world, but even better is that the reward of the hereafter is even superior for those who believe and who fear Allah. So always keep that in mind. You do your best for taqwa. Ultimately, in the world, you'll get something inshallah, but in the hereafter, that is where the true reward is going to come. Move on to verse 59. Now what happens is that he's the minister. He's in charge of distribution of wealth while the drought is on. So people are coming from far and wide. So his family comes, his brothers come. He recognizes them, they don't recognize him. They don't even believe he's alive. They've thrown him into a well expecting that he's going to die. They've never heard of him since then. They don't know what's transpiring. There was not in the news that Yusuf Alayhi Salaam became the minister and it reached them in WhatsApp. There was nothing of that nature, right? So when they get there, they don't even recognize because they saw him when he was a young boy. And now he's much older. But he recognizes them, he doesn't say anything. وَلَمَّا جَهَّزَهُمْ بِجَهَازِهِمْ قَالَ أَتُونِي بِأَخٍ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَبِيكُمْ أَلَا تَرَوْنَ أَنِّي أُوفِي الْكَيْلَ وَأَنَا خَيْرُ الْمُنْزِلِينَ. His full brother Binyamin is not with him, with them. His half brothers are all come. Yaqub alayhi salam had many children from two different wives. So the majority of them was the first wife. The second one, the second wife had Yusuf alayhi salam and Binyamin. That was his full brother. He said, where's your brother? You got another brother, right? Where's your brother? He says, bring your brother next time. Don't you see that I give full amounts of measure? Because it looks like people were getting supplies based on how many people came. Right? So bring your brother. If you don't, I'm not going to give you anything. I'm not going to give you. So he gives them. The lesson we get from here is that even though they've done him so much wrong, he's still kind to them. He still gives them their fair share. And he says, bring your brother, my brother, and you'll get even more. What he does now, he's... وَقَالَ لِفِتْيَانِهِ جَعَلُوا بِضَاعَتَهُمْ فِي رِحَالِهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَعْرِفُونَهَا إِذَا قَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. The money, or whatever it was, he puts it back. Whatever they had given, he puts it back into their bags. He tells his people, his guys, put it back into their bag. When they go back home, they realize, hey, he gave us our money back. That tells us and teaches us lesson that you can use strategy. Don't be so gullible that you don't use strategy and just rely on Allah without strategy. Strategy is a good thing. So he's got strategy because he wants them to come back. Right? Knowing that he's such a generous individual, they should come back. They go and ask the father, can we take Binyamin with us? Now he's obviously not very happy with that because they've already lost Yusuf before when they took him. So they're not happy. So after they ask him, they said, no, we're going to look after him and so on. قَالَ هَلْ آمَنُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا كَمَا أَمِنْتُكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَخِيهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Am I going to trust you the way I trusted you with Yusuf alayhi salam before? فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا. Allah is the best of protectors and He is the most merciful of the merciful ones. Now what that teaches us is that yes, they've given promise, he trusts them now that they're going to look after the brother, their younger brother. But he still puts his reliance on Allah. So he says, Allah is the best of protectors. Yes, I believe you, I agree with you, but Allah is the best of protectors. That teaches us that even if we trust somebody and we know that they're decent people and they will look after us, we still, our trust is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the lesson from here. Ultimately, always our trust must be on Allah, because if we can trust this person, it's because of Allah. Don't rely just on your resources. Use your resources, but rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yaqub alayhi salam says, قَالَ لَنْ أُرْسِلَهُ مَعَكُمْ حَتَّى تُؤْتُونِ مَوْثِقًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ لَتَأْتُنَّنِي بِهِ إِلَّا أَن يُحَاطَ بِكُمْ. I'm never going to send him with you unless you give me a full covenant promise that you will bring him back. Unless you are stopped, like you are prevented. Like if you can't come back, I can understand. But you cannot come back yourself and not bring him back. They gave him that covenant. Now, interestingly, what happens here is that they had committed such a grave crime and sin by getting rid of Yusuf alayhi salam. However, this is an interesting father-child relationship, father-children relationship. Even if our children do the worst of things, we're still at their parents. What are we going to do? We're still responsible. Sometimes you feel with your children, you tell them, do this, and they don't do it. You're like, let me just give up. But how can you give up with your children? With somebody else, you can give up. You say, okay, jaman, dafaho, what are we going to do? With your own children, it's our responsibility. They act like children. They act immature. They don't know what they're talking about. They think they know everything. They think they know the best ways. But obviously parents know better because they're double their age or triple their age or whatever it is, they've had the experience. So there's always a compassion that parents have for their children, which keeps them driving and keeps telling and keep disciplining them and keep caring for them. It's all about care. The discipline is all about care. That's what it's about. So this teaches us the importance of a parenting principle, that no matter how grave a sin children commit, parents shouldn't give up on them. Always keep a window open. Sometimes it does get quite extreme. Always keep a window open. Sometimes it may come a situation where it's so bad that they're harming the other brothers and sisters. You can get them out of the house. Allah Ta'ala protect us from that kind of extreme. So it's not to say that, but you still have to have an opening. Because ultimately they're our children, they're our flesh and blood, and we want them to be successful in the hereafter as well. But there's a wisdom in the way we approach these things. So Yaqub alayhi salam, he takes an agreement from them. Okay, I'm not going to hold you for the previous one that badly. I'm never going to trust you again. I'm going to trust you again. However, he tells them, I don't want you entering all together. There's like 11 of them or 10 of them. I don't want you entering from the same door all together. Because you might be wondering why. Once there was a guy and asked him, how many children you have? He said, I've got lots. He didn't want to tell me how many, because it's a possibility that it's like, wow, 15 children, you know, 7 children. Or you see, these are all your 7 children. You could get the evil eye. So Yaqub alayhi salam didn't want that to happen. He said, I don't want you entering from the same door of the town. I want you to enter separately. Because remember, in those days, no car that they were covered in. They were probably on a horse or camels or something like that. So they all look probably similar as well. Like, oh, you guys are all brothers? Wow. You know, because nowadays as well, but nowadays people have less children. They don't like to have too many children. But in those days, the more children you had, the greater honor it was. Right? That's how you survived. That you needed more children. Here now it's just like one bus, two. It was a mistake. Astaghfirullah. I've literally had people tell me that it was a mistake. And sometimes they actually tell the children that you are a mistake. You are an accident. Imagine how that child feels, that I was an accident. A'udhu billah, a'udhu billah. A lot of that in the non-Muslim culture. But we get it affected, unfortunately. So, this is verse 67. وَقَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تَدْخُلُوا مِنْ بَابٍ وَاحِدٍ وَادْخُلُوا مِنْ أَبْوَابٍ مُتَفَرِّقَةٍ. What is the rule that we get? That look, even though Yaqub alayhi salam has so much tawakkul on Allah, so much reliance on Allah, all this time he's got reliance. He knows Yusuf alayhi salam is going to come back. He's got reliance on Allah. But he still uses strategy. He still uses sabab and means that, look, I don't want you all to... I'm not just going to say, Allah protect us from the Ain, and then all go there in their all glamour, right? For people to look at and stare at, and maybe, you know, they catch the evil eye, right? There's a lot of people who just keep showing off. They show off with their cars, they show off with the way they dress and things like that, and then they get Ayn, they get the evil eye. You don't know who's looking at. People even with good intention would give you evil eye. In admiration, they can do that. So he's saying, no, I need to have strategy. I need to take prevention measures. Allah protect us. Next verse is verse 68. وَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَهُمْ أَبُوهُمْ. Which means that they did enter how their father told them. They followed the instruction of their father, and thus they entered. So that tells you that listen to your parents. Try to obey them to the best of your ability. The father was in another town, far away. They could have just, forget it, man, let's just go in. It's okay. Ye kaun janjat karega? Who's going to go from, you know, split everybody up, right? Let's just, no, they listened to him. So you can tell they've been reformed, at least. Somewhat. Now, when they come, Yusuf alayhi salam, what he does is that in the luggage of his brother, now his brother's here, Binyamin, he puts him, gives him a special place there. And in his luggage, he puts one of his cups, one of his own court cups, special vessel, a valuable vessel. And then nobody knows that. And then he suddenly announces, hey, somebody's stolen a very valuable vessel here. You guys, no, we didn't come here to steal. You know that, we didn't come here to steal. Said, okay, fine, you tell us. What is going to be the punishment for who stole? Oh, then you can keep him. They agreed. So they checked, and it came out of his brother's, came out of his brother's baggage. Obviously, they didn't know. فَبَدَأَ بِأَوْعِيَتِهِمْ قَبْلَ وِعَاءِ أَخِيهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَخْرَجَهَا مِنْ وِعَاءِ أَخِيهِ. Allah says, كَذَلِكَ كِدْنَا لِيُوسُفَ. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam is just a minister, right? The king, the ruler, wouldn't have allowed him to just say, I'm going to keep your brother, right? Unless he told him the whole story maybe, but you know, he didn't want anybody to know yet. So he had to use strategy again. So he uses strategy to keep his brother. Sounds a bit grey area, doesn't it? That he put in there, blamed him. But he blamed him, but it's his brother. And then he told him, don't worry, I'm your brother. I'm your brother. He told him, I'm your brother. He kept it quiet, it seems. So now what happens is that they're in a big dilemma. They can't go back without the brother because they've given huge promises. And it's this whole flashbacks to Yusuf alayhi salam's time, which they probably feel guilty about now. Now it's Binyamin, you know. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is how we gave Yusuf alayhi salam the strategy to keep his brother back. Then Allah says something very interesting. نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتٍ مَنْ نَشَاءُ. Whoever we will, we raise them in status. So Allah might give you one status, Allah gives you another status, He might give me a status, He'll give you a higher status. Right? وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. It's a really, really humbling statement. Above every knowledgeable one, there's a more knowledgeable one. You just might not know. You might think you're the expert on BMWs. Right? And then you find that there's another guy. Right? You're an expert on the Qur'an, and then suddenly somebody knows more than you, and he's hidden, he's not well known, for example. There's always. Same thing happened with him. He said, I am the most knowledgeable, and then he was made to meet Khidr or Khadir alayhi salam, who knew certain things that he did not know. So don't ever think you know everything. Right? Because, you know, unless it's about yourself. You know, unless we probably know more about ourselves, but, you know, I'm sure there's other people who know more about ourselves and we are deluded about some of our characteristics. That's a possibility as well. But that's a very humbling statement. There's always somebody who knows more than others. Right. Now, the next verse, some of them are still jahil. قَالُوا إِن يَسْرِقْ فَقَدْ سَرَكَ أَخٌ لَهُ مِن قَبْلُ. If he's stolen, Binyamin, now it shows, it became evident, right, at least on the face of it, that Binyamin has stolen the cup or the vessel. One of them, some of them actually, قالوا, they said, who, how many exactly, I'm not sure. If he's stolen, his brother stole before him. It looks like there was still something in the hearts. Now, he didn't steal anything. He just stole the love of his father, right? But that wasn't even purposeful. So, can you imagine how Yusuf alayhi salam felt then? Because he heard that. فَأَسَرَّهَا يُوسُفُ فِي نَفْسِهِ. Look at that patience. Yusuf alayhi salam kept it concealed in his heart. He didn't say, he didn't beat them up. Okay, get these guys, I'm going to put them in prison. No, none of that. وَلَمْ يُبْدِهَا لَمْ. He did not reveal it to them. And he just said, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَصِفُونَ. Allah knows best what you're describing. Allah knows best. Now the oldest brother. No, actually, they, again, say, Aziz, can you take somebody else from among us? Don't take him. Take somebody else because he's got a father who's waiting for him, so you can't take him. That's the good aspect of theirs, that they're willing to sacrifice themselves, put themselves in place, that they'll stay there and let Binyamin go back. That shows sacrifice, that we sacrifice for one another. قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. Allah's refuge be sought. We can only take who we found to be guilty. He didn't say guilty, those in whose baggage we found the cup. That shows fairness. That no, we can't mess around with this. It's him, we're going to have to keep him. Right? Now, when they became despondent that about what's going to happen, the Qala Kabiruhum, the oldest one, he said, look, I can't go back. We promised, there's no way I'm going to go back. You guys go back. I'm going to stay here. And you explain to your brother, your father, what has happened, that you know your brother has stolen. You explain to him. And I can't come back until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala produces some new situation. Or my father allows me to go back. obeying your parents, at least, come on, one of them, you obey your parents. Because they had to go back, they had to do something now. So they're obeying their parents. That's what we learn from there. When they came back, Yusuf alayhi salam said, قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّرَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. Immediately, patience again. Beautiful patience is right from the first situation, from the first event. And then Allah, He says something really interesting. He said, عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَأْتِيَنِي بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا. It's possible that Allah will bring them all back. He's still thinking about Yusuf alayhi salam. Has been years. He connects him to Binyamin. Hey, maybe Allah's going to bring all of them back. Because Allah is most knowledgeable and most wise. He knew something. It looks like he knew it, but he had to just go through it, the patience. Right? So that teaches us that never lose hope in Allah. However weird and difficult it sounds, never lose hope in Allah. What's wrong? Have hope in Allah. If it doesn't come, it doesn't come. But if it comes, alhamdulillah. Because having hope in Allah means that we're showing Allah that we still trust in you. We know you can do this for us. Under all circumstances, be patient. Never lose hope. Yaqub alayhi salam, he turned away from them and he's saying, Ya asafa ala Yusuf. He is still concerned about Yusuf. Still lamenting the loss of Yusuf. His eyes have got cataracts now. He can't see properly because of the abundant crying that he did. Right? That just shows that the only people's love who is pure is going to be your parents. It's selfless love. They don't have to get anything else in return. Allah bless our parents. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَلَوْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. He says there's no point complaining to them. He complains to Allah. Yaqub alayhi salam talks to Allah. He said, I'm putting my complaint, my sadness, my grief to you, Allah. And then he says to his children, I know from Allah what you don't know. Hold your anger. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only complain to Him. Especially when you know that complaining to them is not going to make a difference. Yes, you can teach somebody a lesson. But there's no point complaining to somebody afterwards when you know they can't do anything. Complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Now Yusuf alayhi salam tells them, Yaqub alayhi salam tells them, I want you all to go and look for, he's saying, look for Yusuf alayhi salam and his brother. Yusuf alayhi salam has been lost so long ago, right? Go and look for Yusuf alayhi salam and his brother. Don't, and then he says, don't become despondent in the mercy of Allah. The only people that become despondent is the disbelievers. That's a clear lesson in there. Don't become despondent. He'd lost Binyamin. He's still concerned about Yusuf. He's talking about finding Yusuf alayhi salam as well. Subhanallah. So they go. And this time they go and, you know, they're in a really bad state and so on. And Yusuf alayhi salam then reminds them, do you remember what you did to Yusuf? And nobody else knew that. And that's when it clicks to them. Oh, قَالُوا أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفُ. Are you certainly Yusuf? They see some signs. They probably now just figured out because, you know, there must be some similarity. But it just couldn't be the case. But now that he's mentioned that, do you remember what you did to Yusuf? He said, are you Yusuf? Yusuf says, yes, and this is my brother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored us. Allah has favored us and blessed us. And anybody who has taqwa, God-fearingness, and who is patient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never will waste the reward of those who do good. So he's giving them advice even at this point. He's not like, yeah, see what you did, and nothing like that. In fact, he says in verse 92, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. Today, there's no blame against you. It's all done and dusted. There's no blame. He could have really took him to task, but he said, no, there's no blame against you. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Allah forgive you. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Why should Allah forgive? Because He is the most merciful of the merciful ones. That's why He forgives. So remember, whenever we're seeking forgiveness, the lesson we get from here, whenever we're seeking forgiveness for ourselves as well, always think that, why should Allah forgive you? Because He is the most merciful of the merciful ones. So when we're seeking forgiveness, say, oh Allah, forgive me, oh Allah, forgive me. You can do that. But ask forgiveness and say, oh Allah, because you are the most merciful. They're showing us the adab and etiquette of how to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. This verse 92, it represents that even when you have power over your enemy, people who did something bad to you, try to forgive them. Forgive them as far as possible. Because if you forgive somebody, Allah will forgive you. tough situation, but some people just are so stubborn, they just don't give up. They believe as a policy, as a principle, as a belief that I have to take this aggravation to the grave. I can't forgive. I'm going to remember this for the rest of my life. What for? What are you going to get out of it? Is it going to burn inside every time you see the guy? Is that going to make you happy? It's a principle. It's your family tradition. It's a family tradition for some people. My dad used to be like this. My mum does this. That's why I'm going to do it. No, change your way. That's not the way of the prophets. Now, Yusuf Aleyhi gives them a garment, a qamis, a tunic, and says, go and put this over my father and bring him. And they go back. And you can just imagine how Yaqub Alayhi Salaam, he smelt it. He just got it. As soon as they were, he goes, I can smell Yusuf Alayhi Salaam. Subhanallah. Qala alam aqul lak. And then when they come back, he said, didn't I tell you I know from Allah what you don't know? Verse 96. And then they relent. Qalu ya abana astaghfir lana dhunubana inna kunna khati'in. Our father, they said, seek forgiveness for our sins. We were mistaken. We were wrong. And Yaqub alayhi salam said, sawfa astaghfir lakum. I will soon seek forgiveness for you. When did he seek forgiveness? They say he was going to do it at Tahajjud time. That's the most powerful time to do these things. That teaches us. And Ramadan is a time for Tahajjud. That everybody wakes up at that time. So Yaqub alayhi salam's trust in Allah plays out. A happy ending in that sense. Inshallah, our trust in Allah. Try to have trust right from the beginning, right the way through. Inshallah, as the South Africans will say, it will come right. It's just a beautiful word they use. It will be fine. Right? Now, imagine after all of this time, Yaqub alayhi salam comes. He gets his vision back because of the shirt. There's lots of research done exactly how that happened. I'm not going to go into that because we're not doing the tafsir here. We're just trying to get lessons here. When he comes in, Yusuf alayhi salam puts his parents onto the throne. وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا. They all fall down in prostration. In those days, in that tradition, they could prostrate out of respect for somebody. We're not allowed to do that anymore. We can't prostrate except in front of Allah. They would do that. What this tells us is, regardless of how big you become a big minister, a big, big businessman, a big counselor, right? Our parents, we still have to respect them. We still have to give them our place, right? Allah bless him. Because our parents are always superior to us. There's something you can never change. Parents, you can never become superior to your parents. With anybody else, you can become superior to your brother. You can become superior to your friend. Anybody else. To your teacher, you can become superior by learning more. You can't become superior to your parents. How do you become superior to your parents? Physically, it's impossible. Right? So he puts them up and Yusuf alayhi salam then says in verse 100, وَقَالَ يَا أَبَتِ هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِن قَبْلٍ. This is the interpretation finally of that dream that I saw so many years ago, right when I was young, when all of this started, that dream that he had saw. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it come true. And then look at what Yusuf alayhi salam, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been so wonderful to me when he got me out of the prison. And then he brought you guys from the far off area after Shaytan had created a rift and a distance between me and my brother. We're learning adab that even when the person who did you wrong, now don't rub it in. Be honorable and say, Shaytan caused the problem between us. And now, alhamdulillah, Allah has brought it back. Allah has brought us back. It's tough to do this kind of, you know, to not rub it in. To not really get your anger out and your angst out. You know, when eventually it turns out that you are right, then you want to really rub it in, don't you? Yusuf alayhi salam is not right. He's blaming Shaitan. He's like, Shaitan caused the problem between us. Allah brought us back. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbi Latif. He's the subtle planner. He's compassionate for whomever He wishes, for whatever He wishes. He's the most knowledgeable one. Be forgiving and benevolent is the major lesson from here. Just remember Yusuf alayhi salam's story. Right? Whenever we are in those kind of little pickles and predicaments with somebody. And then in 101, Yusuf alayhi salam starts talking about, and this is the end of it now, he starts talking about praise of Allah. He says, Rabbi qad ataytani min al-mulki wa 'allamtani min ta'wil al-ahadith. You gave me this sovereignty, you gave me this power, you gave me this position, you taught me how to interpret dreams. Allah is the fatir as-samawati wal-ard, right? He's the originator, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Anta waliyyi fid dunya wal akhirah. You're my guardian in this world and the hereafter. Tawaffani muslima. I shouldn't take all of this for granted. Give me death as a Muslim. Wa alhiqni bis-salihin. He's the Prophet. He's still saying, and link me up with the righteous people. Let us all have that dua. That's the lesson. A true believer's prayer will always be that he dies as a Muslim and he is linked and associated with the righteous people. That's the lesson we're getting from here. Yusuf alayhi salam essentially realizes all of his blessings. At this point, you know, the next few verses, you can tell he just realizes all of it. It's like it all suddenly dawns on him, right? I'm sure he was thinking about this before. He realizes his blessings, his gifts, the knowledge that were given to him. All of that was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing favors upon him and opening his heart towards guidance. He looks back at his time in the desert and then in the well. Then after that, in Egypt, then in the prison, the 7 years he spent there, all of that was just the test for him to get closer. So we look back, and all the difficulties, now that they're done, alhamdulillah. Oh Allah, all of that made me a better person. Oh Allah, all of those difficulties that I've been through, the struggles in business or children or house or spouse or whatever it is, it's made me a better person. Ya Allah, we thank you for allowing us to come through. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 102, ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ. Those are the stories and the details that we are inspiring you with. They're all of the unseen. You weren't there when they were plotting or they were deciding what to do. You weren't there. We're telling you this story. Essentially what Allah is telling us, learn history because it's important. That's why Allah is revealing this story to us. And He's telling, I'm telling you something that nobody knew fully. You got a story in the Bible and, you know, the Old Testament about a rainbow coat and stuff like that. But this is the true story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals here. It shows us that we have to learn history because history repeats itself. We are the same generic human beings. We might know how to use a computer, and somebody 100 years ago didn't. But otherwise, humanly, with the same kind of greed, jealousy, enmity, love, compassion, we have the same things. We're the same human beings that used to live then. As a human being, we're the same. Just the things around us have changed. So learn history. Right? And then Yusuf alayhi salam says, in the next verse, 104 and so on, he discusses the objective and the missions of the prophets. This is what I'm supposed to do. And وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that there are so many signs you're going to see around you, but most people just ignore them. There's signs around you. Look at them. Understand what's happened before. Understand who Allah is. Understand His power. Understand the way Allah works, and you'll be in a much, much better place. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that look at the sun, the moon, the stars, the ocean, the way people behave, the way things are happening, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors some people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgraces some people. And then finally in verse 108, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Yusuf alayhi salam completes, he says, say that this is my path, this is my path, I am inviting towards Allah, عَلَى بَصِيرًا, with full insight, with full understanding. أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. I do this and anybody who follows me will do this. They're going to invite to Allah. And وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Allah is absolutely purified. I am not one who is going to impartner anything with Allah. That tells us that Yusuf alayhi salam is saying, the lesson we're getting is call people unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially with our actions. And this verse 108 represents that prophets will always call people to Allah only. We are the followers of the prophets. That's why that is our job as well. You have faith. People outside, many don't have faith. They're looking for some substance, not just a drink at the end of the week. They would rather not do that. It's only an escape. You have something, share it. Stop hiding it. Don't give up on Allah. That's why in verse 110, حَتَّى إِذَا اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. Even when prophets, they tried their best, some of them, but they weren't listened to. Eventually, Allah's assistance did come. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with the criminals. Allah is always there to help you ultimately. It might take 5 years. It might take 3 months. It might take 6 months. Ultimately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. And the last verse, 111, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. In their stories of these prophets, like Yusuf alayhi salam's story, there is a lesson for the ulul albab, for the people of intellect, the thinkers. If you're not a thinker, there's no story in there for you, there's no lesson in there for you. But if you're a thinker and you're worried about your hereafter and your life in this world, you have to learn something from these stories. مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى. These aren't made up stories, these are not fabricated stories. وَلَكِنْ تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. This is actually confirmation of the exact facts about this story. Because remember, people knew, had ideas about the story of Yusuf alayhi salam from before, from the other traditions. This is facts. وَتَفْصِيلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Full details of everything. وَهُدًا وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Guidance and mercy for the people who believe. In short, the whole surah teaches us many lessons. In all, I did 20-something lessons in the previous session. I did about 20 lessons in this one. 25 lessons in this one. It's about over 50 lessons from Yusuf alayhi salam's story, right? That's all we have time for today. But ultimately, the whole surah Yusuf is teaching us many lessons. But the major lessons that we can learn from here is what? Trials and hardships. Look at the trials that Yusuf alayhi salam went through. Tough situations. But ultimately, he's, mashallah, he gets into the highest position. Everybody can be blessed with ease by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your nightmare will end, right? The storm will subside. Calm weathers will come again. The morning will come. You just have to make an effort to get out of it and don't become despondent, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects His people. Wallahu yatawalla salihin. Allah looks after the salihin. Wallahu waliyul mu'mineen. Allah is the guardian of the believers. And Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. Allah is the wali of those who believe. That's what we hope for. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq wa akhir da'wana. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We'll make a short dua. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. Tabarak ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma ya hayyu ya qayyum. Bi rahmatika nastaghith. Ya hannan ya mannan. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka. Inna kunna min al-zalimeen. Jazallahu anna muhammadan ma huwa ahlu. Allah have mercy on us. Allah have mercy on this ummah. Allah have mercy on our families and our children. Oh Allah, this is a month of your mercy and your forgiveness. Grant us your forgiveness, Ya Allah. Cure us and purify us, Ya Allah. Cleanse us, Ya Allah. Make us like the day our mothers gave us birth, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you write people to be freed from hellfire every night of this month. Oh Allah, write us among those as well. Don't deprive us, Ya Allah. Your generosity knows no bound during this month. Oh Allah, let us not just be those who are deprived and everybody else benefits, Ya Allah. Do not make us of the deprived ones. Allow us to do that which is right and correct and the best. Oh Allah, for everything. Oh Allah, make us productive. Oh Allah, accept us for the service of your deen, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, help and release and relieve our brothers in Palestine, in Gaza, and in the other places that they are being subjugated, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, grant them their freedom. Oh Allah, grant them their honor, their dignity. Oh Allah, grant them much better than what they have lost, Ya Allah, and grant them sabrun jameel and patience and steadfastness and fortitude and endurance, Ya Allah, and perseverance, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, assist them, assist us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, let us take lessons from the Surah Yusuf, the beautiful surah that you have revealed. Allow us to take the lessons from the Quran, Ya Allah. This is the month of the Quran. Allow us to read it, to comprehend it, to understand it, to beautify our minds with it, to embellish our hearts with it, to imbibe our character with it, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, to elevate ourselves with it, to become students of the Quran and teachers of the Quran and defenders of the Quran and promoters of the Quran, Ya Allah. Allah accept all of us. Allah accept all of us. Allah bless this masjid and all this surrounding area. And oh Allah, bless all of our masajid, all the work that we've still got to do with our masajid. Oh Allah, allow us to do it and remove the obstacles from our path. And oh Allah, assist us in this journey and the various journeys we take in this life. Those who want to go for Hajj, Allah, make it easy for them. Hajj is coming around the corner, Allah, make it easy for them. Allow them to get their booking easily and conveniently, Ya Allah. And make the whole Hajj easy and allow us all to complete our Hajj and go often and go again and again, and especially for Umrah. Oh Allah, protect the Haramain al-Sharifain and Masjid al-Aqsa. And oh Allah, protect all our Muslim assets, Ya Allah. Assist us all to become productive and to gain the company of your Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hereafter. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wasalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules. And at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.